Hey everyone, it's Lady A.
And DJ.
And welcome to episode 9 of Money, Romance, and Greed. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week.
Appreciate you.
It has been just wow. I mean, like, we have a really crazy story. I mean, I think it's too sick even for us, right? I mean, it's like
gory.
I mean, so you guys, I think, are going to be very intrigued at everything that this story entails. And so we're just going to kind of give it to you raw, as raw as we can.
Uncut.
Listener discretion is advised.
Rough and raw.
In advance, okay. But before we get into today's situation, and it is a sad one, we just want to take the time to really thank everybody once again who has stuck with us and have been supporters of the podcast. We really appreciate you. So we want to just start out by saying a big shout out to all of our United States listeners.
Yes, ma'am, for sure. Good looking out. Ohio, North Carolina, Michigan, California, New York, Idaho, Virginia, Oregon, Florida, Missouri, Colorado, Georgia, Indiana, Texas, Pennsylvania, Washington, Arkansas, DC, good looking out, y'all.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for sticking with us. And a special thank you to all of our international listeners. Australia, the United Kingdom, India, and now Kenya.
Kenya.
So we have a new listener. Thank you guys so much. We love you. Thank you for supporting us.
Stay down, y'all. This is where it's at.
Yes, sure. Yes. And please be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast fixed.
Why wouldn't you want to subscribe?
Thank you. I mean, are we not awesome?
Fire.
We are awesome, okay? And if you have any friends or family that love true crime and
tell
you know
too.
They do.
Tell them too.
Okay? Let them know. Okay? We welcome everybody.
This is where it's at.
This is what's happening.
And we
right
really
here.
Care. Period.
Exactly. And this is what's happening. And thank you guys once again for your loyalty and sticking with us. And, you know, we look forward to just kind of being a family, right?
Man,
just being there.
Man, love y'all, man.
We love you guys.
Let go!
So let's get into today's story. So this is the very interesting story of Lilias Landrum. Now, Lilias Landrum, and let's not forget Tony Ramel Smith.
Lilias.
Lilias. Isn't that a cute name? I kind of like that.
Spell it.
L-I-L-I-U-S. Lilias.
Lilias, huh?
I love that. That's so cute.
Can I get
and
the word?
And you never hear that. That's just English, okay? So, I mean, you know, and this is, and Tony, I mean, that's more of a common name, right? But so, Tony Smith and Lilias Landrum were two people that were completely in love. Even though they
How
both...
How in love came, was
I? In love, love. I mean, it's like, oh, that's
was
my baby.
Crazy
that's
in love?
My soulmate. Beyonce crazy in love, okay? Hey. Drunk in love.
Well, that's what love. Or was they drunk in love?
Right. They could have been drinking too much. Who knows? I
two
mean,
two words or one word?
Thank you.
Drunk in or drunk drunken?
In or drunken. Love, right? Because there is a difference, people. Okay,
let's get it. Let's
but
get it.
They were truly in love, or what they thought to be love. Let's just put it that way, right?
That was in love,
but they were, and they were. They what they felt was truly genuine.
Or is it something I don't know? We are doing it.
They were truly in love, even though they came from different sides of the spectrum. So they come from completely different backgrounds, and they were separated in age by 20 years.
Oh, shit. Lady A, come on, man. I'm going to tell you right now.
Just saying. Okay.
Lady A, cut
we're about the
bullshit. The
truth here. We're about the truth.
No, it is the truth. But cut the bullshit. 20 years in an age difference? Mm-hmm. Were they really in love? What's
well,
going
they
down?
Thought they were. So Lilias actually was Tony's senior by 20 years. When they met, she was 43 and he was 23.
Oh, it's not going to work.
So... You know, sometimes you see these couples, and it's like, I'm 70 and I'm 30, but we're madly in love.
Dang,
and you're
I'm
thinking,
working.
Well, how the hell is that possible? Mm-mm. Right? Like, when I was going through, like, World War II, like, your mom wasn't even thought
you wasn't. Ma'am, listen. Listen. But
so that kind of gives everybody a vision of what this was. So a little bit of background on Lilias. After 15 years of living in Los Angeles, because that's where she resided, and she was working as an up-and-coming actress, Lilias made a decision to move back to her hometown, because she's originally from Akron, Ohio, to take care of her ailing parents. Her mother had a heart condition, and her father had throat cancer. Okay. And actually, this is her stepfather, so let's be clear on that.
Stop right there. And I shall hate it. You're living in L.A.
Yes.
Sunny.
Beautiful.
Hollywood, y'all.
Oh, beaches.
You move back to Akron, Ohio. But I do understand
cold.
It. And it is commendable. I mean, but it is commendable because you want to take care of your mother and your stepfather. I mean, it is commendable, but really, you can't come out here and live with me in L.A.?
And I think it takes
a
different...
I can't meet you halfway?
Right, because I think it takes a lot of... And I think part of it kind of speaks to her character. Clearly, she was close to her mother. Clearly, she was close to her stepfather.
Integrity, yeah.
For you to be able to walk away and from everything that you are trying to do in your own life and say, I'm needed here, like, that speaks volumes. Because people don't do that nowadays. They're like, what? Please. I'm busy. Or they won't even respond.
Right. No, you're right. I wouldn't even necessarily. I mean, but can you come live with me or something? I mean, I am established out here. I mean, I don't want to move back to Akron from L.A.
Well, she is a work in progress, which is what brings us to our next point. Because during her time in L.A., Lilias worked some pretty awesome jobs. I mean, she really did.
How awesome were they?
And they were pretty popular. They were popular African-American TV shows. And back then, they had some really good TV sitcoms.
Oh,
Give
okay.
Me a Break. You know, remember Nell Carter from Give Me a Break?
What? Do I?
Dang, I can't even remember the...
Nell Carter, Give Me a Break. Enough said. What's the next one?
Give Me a Break. Family Matters. Steve Urkel.
Oh, we absolutely...
Everybody knows who Steve Urkel is. But she also worked on the show Good Times. Good time, anytime you need a baby.
Good times.
Everybody know Good Times,
good
right?
Good times.
Okay.
She Florida. Was on the damn shows.
She was on some really good shows. So this is where she was the understudy and body double to Bernadette Stanis, who played Thelma.
Oh, Thelma?
Thelma.
She was a stunt double for...
Awesome cuteness Thelma. Smart Thelma. Sometimes dumb Thelma. I'm going to run off and run. Marry the African. Remember what she did?
How cute was she? But she was okay. But, you know.
But she... And she was pro-black, right?
My biggest thing is, man, hey, let's stay focused. So, no. Back in that day, that's huge.
That was huge.
That's huge.
It was huge. And so, her being the understudy to Bernadette Stanis
right.
was incredible. So she was clearly on her way.
What happened to Lilias?
And so, you know, and it's crazy because her niece, Camila Hartwell, told Ohio.com newspaper, quote, she didn't have to come back to Ohio.
I told you. I know.
She really didn't, right? She could have stayed in L.A. and probably would have been famous right now.
See?
But she came back to help her mother. That's how big of a heart she had. And once again, we just talked about that, DJ. How big are you? At what point do you put your own personal aside and focus on something bigger than you, right? And that was Lilias.
Yeah, you're right. But at the end of the day, man, fuck that. All right? Something got
but
to be
again,
worked out.
Her mother, how we don't know how old her mother could have been. She did have a heart condition. Maybe she couldn't fly. I can meet you in...
Maybe she needs to stop eating bacon. Shit, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Because, you know, black people, they are known for eating a lot of high in cholesterol.
Did you say that?
As we snack on our own food. Okay. So Lilias was only in Akron for about 2 years when her life was taken in one of the most hideous ways your life can even end. I mean, at this point, what happened to Lilias after everything she had been through? I don't even think it getting worse, right?
I'm gonna tell
I really don't. I don't think it getting no worse.
Lady A, I was right. She should have stayed her ass in California. Mm-hmm. She come back and within 2 years, she's dead.
She's dead. Brutally dead.
Man.
Not just any kind of death. This is horrific.
Well, what the fuck happened?
Shit. So, once Lilius got settled into life back in her hometown in Akron, Ohio, that we just said, she found work as a mortgage loan processor, where she made friends fast. I mean, this is like a small mortgage company. There's maybe only 10 or less employees, a small number. And she was able to develop relationships with her coworkers there and all of that. Lilius didn't drive. So she didn't drive a car. Even when she was in LA, she took the public transportation.
Hold on, y'all.
Because keep in mind, she hadn't made it yet.
Hold on, y'all. What you mean she didn't drive? She didn't have a car?
Right. She didn't drive.
Did she have a license?
I don't know.
If she don't drive, that means she probably don't have a license. Come on, y'all. Is something weird about Lilius?
Well, we know commonly there's quite a few people who don't typically have a license.
No, I mean, but you still drive without a license. I'm sorry.
Lord.
Even then, though. No, I mean, back in the day, like some of our grandparents.
By the way, y'all, that's illegal. You're not supposed to drive without a license.
Right. No, but I mean, even then you drive. I mean, yeah, you don't need a license to drive. You just need it to get caught. But type of shit like that. But
maybe when she moved back to Akron, she made a business decision not to buy a car immediately. Either way, she didn't have a car, but she had established a friendship with people. Really, they loved her. They loved her spirit. They loved her personality. They could see that she was a good person. So they really didn't mind taking her
to
church, you know, little places here and there. I mean, they were like taking her to the grocery store, things of that
nature. But my biggest thing is I don't believe that you're an actor if you don't have a car.
She had to check the bus.
I mean, this is not New York, y'all. I mean, she's in Akron, Ohio.
Well, she lived in L.A. for 15 years.
Right, and even in L.A., I mean, come on, you still don't have a car.
Does Akron have, like, a public transportation system?
Who the fuck? I mean, you might have family guys. I don't...
As a, you know, she is still, she was trying to get there. However, maybe her not having a car is what allowed her to be able to save some money. You know, sometimes people think like that. It's not cheap living in L.A., right? So, either way, she did not have a car when she moved back. But she was able to land a job. So, as long as you got money coming in, you can probably always, you know, make some work.
Well, sure, you need a car to get to a job, but I digress. Where'd she land a job at, Lady A?
Well, that's what I'm saying. She was a mortgage loan processor. She ended up getting a job there. And because she ended up establishing a lot of friends and everything or whatnot. But when she wasn't at work, Lilius would often write to ex-cons that were trying to transition back into society.
And that's what I was just going to say, too. She was only in L.A. for 2 years before she got killed. Talking about she met a lot of friends.
In Akron for 2 years. Yeah. People that she met were only the people that were at the mortgage company.
And you're right, ex-cons.
I know.
She's lonely.
It's like she was doing lonely. That was so weird. But I thought that was a little bit weird. But she was a Christian woman. That's what they said. She was a Christian woman, and she saw the good in everybody. Mm-hmm. And so she believed that these inmates would be productive citizens and do the right thing after they release. So she's kind of, in essence, a pen pal to these cons. And she would tell them.
Remember pen pals, y'all?
I know. Oh, my God. Like, back in the day, pen pal. So she would tell them, listen, you can do the right thing when you get out. I know you're lonely. Nobody writes to you. This is after all your family done left you, all your friends. You don't know nobody. Everybody hates you. They don't want nothing to do with you. Why? Because you're the worst of the worst. And they don't want to deal with you. And they hope you don't get out of jail. And but here comes Lilius.
And let me guess, one of these convicts hit her with the pimp game, huh?
Well, that was the thing. She was in a conversation with quite a few ex-con. She was writing to quite a few of them.
So she worked in the room. She tried to
She was not a stranger to allowing newly released prisoners to stay at her home. As a matter of fact, she allowed a newly released inmate to roommate with her in her home.
What you thought was going to happen, Lilius? Seriously.
And they say it's not because she needed the money, but she just wanted to be helpful. She wanted to be the person to give them that start. So they could say, wow, you know who gave me the start in life? When I got out of jail, when nobody supported me and nobody did this, and that, Lilius did.
Hard stop, y'all. Don't be the scapegoat for anyone getting out of jail and they come and live with you. Let them live with a few people first before they live with you. I don't want you as soon as you come from the big house. I don't. You just got out of prison, dog.
Not to mention, she's a woman who's living alone. She has no children.
That's what I'm saying.
She has no boyfriend.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just her and this criminal.
Thank you. What you think is supposed to happen, Lilius? And I'm so hated. And I'm not even going to do that.
Right. Because we are, you know, and I will have to say, a lot of people do often give opportunities to
And I love it. But don't just be a woman by your...
Don't be by your... Right. Man, right, DJ. No, you... That's exactly
listen,
right.
Listen, gas pedal, lady.
Right. So it was this quote-unquote pen pal writing to inmates in prison is how she met Tony Ramel Smith. They write back and forth, and they finally crossed paths at the Jerusalem.
Was she slow?
No. I mean, she couldn't have been because she was she landed roles on things like Good Times, Give Me a Break. The thing about it is I think sometimes people can be their own worst enemy. I think that they believe
gullible.
In doing right, naive. That they see the good and they authentically see the good.
They're not thinking
like that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, like people like me and you, we can spite a shady motherfucker
get
a mile away.
Me,
exactly. We got our guards up immediately. But there are people in the world who truly believe that everybody. Even if you've been in prison for murder, for whatever, they can be rehabilitated.
You're not going to come to my house as soon as you get out.
No.
Hell no.
You're not even coming to my house. And forget about coming even within my community. 911 or your local police department. For real. Like, with the quickness.
Lady A.
So, I mean, and that's just real. And y'all know y'all feel us, okay? So, let's move on. So she ends up meeting Tony Ramel Smith. They are writing back and forth. And to keep in mind, like, you know, he's in jail too. So this is a part of that quote unquote pen pal situation. But they finally crossed paths at the Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, where she was a volunteer counselor for drug users and former inmates and whoever.
At the Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church.
Right.
That's a cold ass name. Hey, what is it? Four or five religions in one?
Gang member. Baptist. Okay?
Now, right, but it Baptist also says Jerusalem.
Exactly.
It also says missionary. I'm like,
and Baptist churches tend to have more than one, like, you know, name associated with it.
It
kind of has like four and five names.
I don't know, though. I can't really say that, though, because it's always Tri-Stone Baptist. I don't know, Cleveland Ave Baptist.
Or it could be like, you know, Gospel Tabernacle Baptist Missionary. You know what I'm saying? It could be any of those. I guess it's give or take. It's depending on what city you're in.
We digress.
Right. So, this is where she was actually a volunteer counselor. And this is where she actually met Tony face to face. Now, Tony had been in and out. This is a little bit of background on him. He had been in and out of different detention homes, prisons, basically his whole damn life. He was originally from Columbus, Ohio. He grew up there. But through just his years of trouble, his years of issues, he some kind of way migrated into Akron. Okay? So... basically, he has just been a person who's just had issues.
A troublemaker.
He has been. Everything he touches just turns into trouble. So, you know, and it started in his childhood. They say he had a very difficult childhood. But at this point in his life, when he met Lilius, he was also volunteering at the Missionary Baptist Church. By this time, he had already been released out of jail. he's been paroled, whatever, whatever.
Had already lived with the other person and fucked him over.
Exactly. Nobody wants him. Nobody cares about him and all of this stuff.
So what now does he do? He's you join the church.
Exactly. And he says that he's this rehabilitated person. So these two begin spending time together and getting to know one another. Tony claimed to be preaching Christianity to the youth, and that is what really attracted Lilias to him.
I don't know why.
I know. Oh, because he said he was preaching to the youth. You can get people on religion. It is surprising how you can get people on religion.
Lady A, that's going to be a whole nother show because you know how I feel about that.
A whole nother show.
You know how I feel about that. A lot of that religion is, they say in Christianity, but it's a cult.
Thank you.
They want to control you. They want to do, especially women. I digress.
Yep. Hold on. And they got you thinking that it's normal. So this is what really had attracted Lilias to him. She felt that she was really focused, that he was really focused on doing the right thing, and he was in the process of being rehabilitated and turning his life around. When Lilias heard that Tony was into Christian rap and wanted to sign different Christian artists, she was completely on board. So the name of the record label was called Shock the World Entertainment, and it actually had some artists on the label. In the meantime, while the label was getting off the ground, both Lilias and Tony had maintained their same jobs. Lilias was still at the mortgage company, and Tony, and I believe at the time, he was working in janitorial services at a local college. The partnership and the development of getting the business off the ground is where the actual love of the two kind of came into place, because they're spending like all this time with one another. They're doing all these different things. They're like, you know, they're building together this Shock the World Entertainment Christian rap label. And so they're Christian kind of together. Rap. Yeah. I mean, so he says to her, you know, oh, okay, well, I'm also doing Christian rap. I want to put the message out to the world through music. And I have this label called Shock the World Entertainment. And she says, oh, yeah, I'm completely on board. I want to join. Tell me how. Right. So as they continue to work their jobs, like I said, he in janitorial services working at the college and her at the mortgage company or whatever, doing the loan processing, they were able to kind of come together and they put their savings together to buy studio time for the three artists they had on their record label. So they actually had signed people, you know, or whatever, to this Christian, and they were buying studio time to put these tracks down or whatever. And I don't know, DJ, how much it typically costs for studio time, but I have to imagine that it's not cheap, right? I mean, this can be very costly, and now I'm putting all of my money and all of my time into this.
Lady A, it's a waste of time. Christian rap is not selling. I'm sorry. And I just got to talk. I mean, what? I can't believe.
We're all about truth here.
I'm out of jail, and now I'm doing Christian rap.
How many Christian platinum rap artists have you ever heard of?
None.
Hey, now I will say, now, Kirk Franklin, he ain't Christian rap. Oh, no. But, I mean, he
My
gets the music
group,
up there.
Mary Mary.
Mary Mary?
You already know.
Thank you. Franklin. Okay. But that's still not DJ Christian rap.
Thank you. Christian rap has not taken off.
Thank you. It hasn't anyway. Taken off yet. Yet, they were determined to continue.
And I feel them. I mean, not to say that it's a bad idea.
That it couldn't have been happening.
Because they could have been the first ones to do it.
Right. They already had a record label, Shock the World Entertainment. That seemed like if you could be successful, Shock the World could have been shocking to the world.
Yeah.
That Christian rap has taken off
like
that.
That was going to shock the world, but it was in a different way.
In a different way. Damn it. Mm-hmm. So, moving on, so this is basically just through their partnership with this Shock the World Entertainment or whatever. That's when they started to kind of like look at each other in more of a, oh my God, I think I'm in love with you type situation. So eventually, like I said, the couple puts their money. No, they did. And it was crazy because, I mean, maybe, I'm not sure. How does this whole thing work? Because she's 20 years older than him. I would look at him more as a child, as like, you are old enough to be my son, versus you're old enough to be my lover.
Right. Was he younger or she was younger?
She was, he was younger. She was 43. He was 23.
Yeah, but some people don't look at it like that. God, that that's that stallion. That's that cougar. Don't get me started.
But maybe at the time, did he present more of a maturity to her?
She was goofy. Hey, Lady A.
Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible. She was in love. And I'll tell you this. You know, sometimes people say age ain't nothing but a number, right?
Depending sometimes, on who you're talking sometimes. About, right?
Okay, so as I mentioned before, Lilias did have another man living in her home who was also an ex-inmate. Remember I told you guys that
earlier?
How many
goddamn niggas she got living in her house?
The roommate. Oh, but once Tony sorry, and Lilias...
You got another ex-inmate? Come on, man. Don't.
He was still the same one living in her home. Now, once Tony and Lilias got more serious in their relationship, this guy just moves out. Like, he gives no warning. He just, one day, he just gone. But he done found his own place.
But at one point, they was all living together?
No, they were not living together. After her roommate moved out, she allowed Tony to move in. So before she was helping this inmate, so she said, okay, you can stay here, pay rent, whatever, whatever, kind of helping him get off, get his feet kind of planted on the ground. And then Tony knew about it. Like, everybody knew that that was, like, she had helped this guy.
So pretty much she a rest haven for hoes. Inmates.
Inmates. Mm-hmm. There you go. And again, so but at that point, what happened was
my thing is, this is a woman opening up her house to inmates with no one in here.
Yes,
I got the man living. What is going on in there?
Yes, and that's crazy because once she started to date Tony, also keep in mind, you guys, Tony is also a criminal inmate, right? He back and forth in and out of jail since he was a kid, and
birds of a feather.
There you go. And so who knows if he knew Tony and Tony knew him, or maybe they didn't know each other. But either way, this guy makes a decision to go ahead and be like, okay, she's got a man now. Let me go ahead, stop the fuck out, get out of here, do my own thing. So he moves out and gets his own place. And he just kind of leaves Lilias and Tony to do their own thing.
So when Lilias met Tony, they was not living all in the same house. With
no,
the
Lilias had her own place. She always had her place.
Hey man, Lilias is a suspect.
Tony had his own place.
Right.
Wherever.
No, Lilias didn't have her own. Yeah, she had her own place.
She had her.
But it was full of convicts.
Right. Right. She had them kind of. Well, she kind of. See,
she
again,
ran a halfway house.
Right. That's what it was. Because, again, in her mind, she thinks she's doing a Christian thing. We have to keep in mind the mindset of people. When they're doing
we ain't
these
even
things.
Going there, mommy.
You know what I'm saying? They think they're doing the right thing, and they don't have the conscience and
bless
wherewithal.
Bless your heart. You really think you're right, huh?
Now, you know. With this, and that's the thing.
Come on, let's pull back. I mean, get into
it. It's really kind of really weird.
I'm starting to get pissed off.
Because she really did think she was doing the right thing.
But did she? I mean, she over 12, right?
She let the guy.
She's supposed to have common sense, right?
She let the guy live in her house. Mm. Moved Tony in after this guy moved out, but she was in love with Tony.
She had a plethora of men in and out of her house.
She did not.
And I'm not even going
to go. I apologize
y'all know where I'm going.
To
I'm
any family that is of Lilias that is listening to this podcast.
Don't apologize. I ain't that shit.
Because, you know, we know Lilias was a kind-hearted person. And sometimes our kind-heartedness can get
God
us into a
Lilias.
Lot of trouble.
God bless Lilias.
But she, I think she had good intention.
Right.
Fast forward that.
There we go.
So this guy moves out. Tony moves in. So, not too long after Tony moves in, and they're, like, completely serious about their relationship, Tony actually proposes to Lilias, and he presents her with an engagement ring, all right? And this is after Lilias is like, oh, my God, this is, like, the best girl on earth, and we're soulmates, and we're supposed to be
yeah,
together.
Yeah, but Lilias ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer. We all
right.
agree on that, right?
At least when it comes to men. And my thing is, for her career, that could be one thing. For men, I don't think it's the best.
Lady A, Lady A.
I'm a have to agree with you on that, DJ. I don't think her decision in men is the best. I think that she acts off of emotion when it comes to men and not with her brain. You know, who am I really dealing with? This guy's been in prison his whole goddamn life. What makes you think he gonna change just because you come into his life? How many other women have you screwed over? You was in LA
on TV shows.
Yeah.
I can't get over that.
Three of them. She was an understudy to Thelma from Good Times. That is freaking huge. Because understudy means what, DJ? I'm next in line.
Yeah, stunt double, body double.
Thank you. I'm gonna say and she served as a double. I'm next in line.
I'm going to say, Lady A, listen. Sometimes your parents fuck you up. I'm going to say it. It's going to be controversial, but sometimes your parents fuck you up.
Yeah.
Your parents help you with a test. How'd you do that test? Oh, it's fucked up. Your parents give you some advice. Oh, how'd it go? It was fucked up. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people's parents is, oh, everybody not as
cool. Not to even mention, wait, isn't it like that college scandal nowadays? Well, you know your kid dumb as hell.
On it.
You know your kid dumb as hell.
Took penitentiary chances to get them into Yale, and they're on footage. They on videos talking about, well, you know, I really didn't give a fuck about going to the school. I really didn't care. My mom did the damn thing. You know, hey, pass that motherfucker a shot. Hey, thank give you. Me a shot, man. What
Let
you
me
doing?
Get that shot. What? Right. Makeup lines? For a? Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. Now your mama is sitting, spending 3 years in jail.
And she should.
So, y'all get the point, right?
Man, listen.
All right, so moving on, because this is crazy, DJ. I'm serious. I swear.
And I apologize.
I feel like this is probably like a two-part series. I swear.
Man, listen. Let's
okay,
go.
So moving on. So, okay, we're already on the part where they're living together, right? Everybody good. He does the proposal. Everybody's happy. Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
I know.
Yes, yes, I will. Okay, now we're getting married. Except there was one issue once Lilius accepted the proposal is that she was already married.
Right.
So, it turns out that 20 years before, again, of course, Tony
wasn't even been born.
3 years older, not even born, when she was already in high school or, you know, out of high school getting married or whatever. So she had actually married her high school sweetheart. And even though this marriage was very short-lived,
they were still married.
It was still married.
Did she tell Tony?
And she didn't.
She fake as fuck.
She didn't tell Tony, but she never got the divorce. The fact is that her
right,
family...
Right, I mean, you never got the divorce. You didn't tell him. I mean,
And the thing about it, though, is that her husband never saw the divorce either.
I mean, at the end of the
Can
day,
Can somebody
I mean,
raise their standards
yeah,
here?
Yeah, were they still fucking around?
No.
You don't know that.
She lived in L.A. for 15
that
years.
Don't matter.
He lived down in Atlanta. He was actually married to another woman. And the thing that cracks me up about this whole situation is because up to this point, they separated. They went their own separate ways. She's out in California doing her thing. She never feels like, I never have to get this divorce. He probably feels like,
and see,
well,
that's our problem. Again, footnote. Handle that business.
Yeah. Yes.
Get the divorce.
Get it.
You
get
got
it done.
I mean, if you signed the paperwork to get a marriage,
get
sign
it done.
The paperwork
get
to get a
it done.
Divorce.
That's
period.
Right.
That's the only way to get it done. And now you 10 years ain't never got it done, but you're still legally married.
20 years. 20 years.
Come on, man.
Get it done. Just get it done. They never, ever, even though they were separated, they never, ever made the divorce final. So now they're out here 20 years later, living their life in all of this hoopla, and they're never divorced. Now, up to this point, Lily has never felt like she needed to get a divorce because she had never found anybody in which she felt like she would marry again. And actually, Lily has told family, after this marriage, she felt like she would never get married again because she was so devastated at what had happened in the ending of her first marriage. So now they're all doing their own thing. Fast forward that. Once Lilius accepts Tony's marriage proposal, she decides to contact her husband and obtain a formal divorce. But he is now married to another woman. He's got kids. He's got a family. He's doing his thing. He's kind of on his own hoopla or whatever. And he fears that getting a divorce now, because clearly he ain't told his wife. I mean, let's keep it 100 here.
Maybe about he did, or maybe he didn't.
We about the truth. Clearly he has not told his wife, because he said that the minute that Lilius contacts him, he's afraid that he's going to be jailed for bigamy. And he says, don't contact me again. If you ever contact me again about this divorce thing, I will kill you. He makes it very clear that he does not want to.
He said that, I would kill you.
He said that.
Well, goddamn. I was going to say, shit, do you feel him? But. Well,
he said it.
I mean.
Shit. It came.
Hey, my thing is, he found someone he really loves and he's really intrigued, and you will kill the bitch that messes it up. Sorry.
And that's terrible, because he failed to also obtain the divorce.
And that's what I don't understand. You.
Clearly they knew where both of each other were. Like, I mean, if she can pick up the phone and contact you, then you can pick up the phone and contact her. Why didn't y'all just handle that business? Have you not heard of LegalZoom? Damn, was LegalZoom around back in 1990?
Probably not, though, but he on some sneaky shit. Anytime someone done him do something like that, he on some sneaky shit.
And he married this woman. And he made it seem like he had never been married, would never know. Well, him and Lily has never had any children, things of that nature. But the fact of the matter is that he was still married to her.
And he the husband. If anything happened to her, money comes.
Thank you.
The bag.
The money would automatically default to him.
All about the bag.
Everything that happened, he would be responsible for the decision making and a medical need. All of that. Because they never, you guys, like DJ said, handle your business.
Oh, you have to.
Because somebody can come along and say, well, you know, I'm the legal husband. You know, I'm the legal wife. I am the one. He didn't leave a will? What? He didn't leave a trust? Yeah, now you fucked over, okay? Your kids fucked over. Your whole family fucked over because you done told them one thing. Now you didn't go and something else is happening. So, moving forward. Now, once he clearly disagreed with getting the divorce because he was afraid to be arrested on bigamy
my
charges.
Thing is, punk ass, ain't nobody gonna arrest you. Ain't nobody worried about that, dog.
I don't know. He live in Atlanta.
That shit happens
he
all the
Atlanta.
Time. Yeah, you right. But that shit happens all the time. God damn it. Shit. Sign the paperwork. It ain't gonna happen to you.
Be done with it. But that also means that his marriage to his current wife is null and void. And you don't want them kind of problems. You don't want your current wife knowing that you didn't clear up shit in your past life, and now our marriage is null and
also,
void.
Also, as soon as you get a divorce, then that...
It would have come out. It would have come out.
I got to kill you. I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
That's what he said, bitch. Don't call me no more. I'll kill you.
You better not.
You better not call me. I'll kill you.
Matter of fact, meet me behind the school.
What is this? I turn it. Bitch, you die, I kill you. My thing is, at the end of the day, he couldn't take that chance. He didn't want to deal with it. It had been 20 years. You know how it is.
That's what it was.
The time progresses. You never hear from her. She never hears from you. Y'all in your own life.
Yeah, that's not
and all of this. So it's not. Handle your business now so you don't have to pay for it later. That's it.
Spoken like DJ.
And Lady A. We telling y'all. It's the truth. Okay, so fast forward that, so initially, like we already talked about, Lilius had never told Tony when he proposed that she was already married, and she was a little, you know, afraid to tell him or whatever because she thought that she would be able to handle the situation before they actually formally got married or whatever. But once her husband, I don't know what to call him, is estranged husband
my thing,
appropriate?
Lady A, just let it be known. I mean, they husband, you know how we do in the black community.
Right. Once her estranged husband, because nobody ever wants to get a fucking divorce.
Period.
Right? I mean, let's just keep it 1,000. They don't want to get divorced. So once she contacted her estranged husband and says, hey, I'm getting married or whatever, and I need you to give me a divorce, he says, fuck you, and I'm not, don't ever call me again because I'm not trying to go to jail.
And see, I don't understand that. If you a hundo, then that's it. I mean, period.
Face up to what you did. Own it. Tell your wife, listen. And it may not have been as bad as he was thinking it was going to be. It was going to be that bad.
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe.
He wasn't going to take the chance.
I mean, you know, it is what it is.
And it is what it is. I mean, the truth of the matter is, handle your business now so people don't have to pay later.
Man, don't keep no secrets. You ain't got to, I mean, tell no
stories. That's right. So, Lilius does end up telling Tony, listen, I can't legally marry you because I went after my ex-husband to get a divorce. He refuses a divorce. Therefore, we cannot legally get married. Now, Tony was shocked and surprised and a bit angry at the oh my God, I can't believe this, or whatever. But they talk through it, and they ultimately end up doing something a little bit unconventional.
A fake-ass marriage.
Thank you. So Lilius and Tony decide to go to Michigan and stay at a hotel where they perform their own internal ceremony by exchanging rings and vows to one another, essentially marrying themselves under God.
Fake.
In this hotel room. Dressed up.
Fake.
Like, we don't need a priest or pastor or anybody ordained to do this. We'll do it ourselves. We'll commit ourselves to one another. Now, is that a common practice? I don't think so. Does it happen? Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
So this is what they, anyway, this is what they decide to do. Now, shortly after their common law union, because that's, at this point they become common law. So after their common law union, things take a turn for the weird, right? So Tony starts becoming overly obsessed with religion. He's writing really strange Christian rap lyrics. He's on edge all the time, talking to himself and really snappy when it comes to Lilius. Eventually, Tony does seek mental help for what he has identified as abnormal. So he goes on his own and says, oh my God, I need a doctor.
I wish more people would do that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I agree. I agree, DJ. I think that if you know that this is not typically you, or you've identified something as well, why am I acting this way? Why am I acting that way? What did I write down here? That's weird. Go get help. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's what Tony did. But clearly the mental health treatment was short-lived because he becomes more and more paranoid. He's overly possessive and dominates over Lilius to the point where Lilius no longer voices her opinion on the record label and just lets Tony make all the decisions on everything. Even when others are asking for her feedback.
By my mind, I feel it. Hey, don't want to fuck with
him. Right, I'm just, Tony, what do you think? You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to deal with that, right? So it's like, okay, whatever. So, you know, this continues to happen and she's kind of feeling some kind of way. In the meantime, while all of their money is being spent on studio time for Shock the World Entertainment, Lilius and Tony are facing massive financial problems. Tony is no longer working at the college, and Lilius was laid off as a loan processor. And because all of their money was being put into the record label, they couldn't pay their utilities, and vital necessities such as water, electricity, and sewage was all disconnected.
Damn.
They weren't eating properly and basically living almost like homeless people. They were using a bucket in the basement when they needed to use the bathroom.
Yuck.
Terrible. I mean, just terrible. I mean, keep in mind, you guys, this is a woman who was on TV shows, understudy. I mean, that's, I mean, you want to talk about rise to fall. I mean, and the people that we deal with can actually bring us down. I mean, Tony is a prisoner. Let's be honest. She can't save this man. But yes, she thought she could. So at this point, Lily is completely estranged from her family. Keep in mind, the whole reason why she moved to Akron was because of her family. But by now, she's completely estranged. And let's be clear, Lily's family was not a fan of Tony at all. He would do a lot of really weird shit when he was at their house, and they just weren't comfortable around him. But Tony's mental illness is becoming worse and worse to the point where Lilius is just afraid to even be around him anymore. Finally, she hits a breaking point and Lilius finally decides to tell a close friend that she is leaving Tony. After she tells her friend this, nobody ever hears from Lilius and they don't hear from Tony again. That's where it kind of goes.
What happened?
So on April 3rd, 1998, neighbors go to Lilius and Tony's home because they smell something funny coming from the home, like some odor, right? So they go over to check on her, and when they go in, they find blood everywhere, and that's when they contacted the Akron Police Department. When the police get there, they go directly to the basement where the horrific smell is, it's like this, like, overpowering smell is coming, that's where the smell was coming from, and they find the body of a woman who doesn't seem to have a head.
What?
And they're like, what the hell, right? So, as the police continue through the basement, because it's dark there, so they're using their flashlights, and they find her head in a bucket not too far from the body.
Damn.
And then not even too far from the body of where her head and her body was, they identify the murder weapon, which was a kitchen steak knife. All in the basement.
Like the same knife you cut your ribeye with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tenderloin.
And now you're thinking, oh man, I can't wait to eat this steak, the New York strip steak, because I'm going to take this steak knife and I'm going to cut it up. It's going to be all nice and tender. Yeah, well, that's the same knife he used to decapitate Lilius. So initially, the police immediately began looking at her ex-husband and her former roommate. They thought the roommate was a possible suspect, more so than anybody else, because he had witnessed a decapitation in prison. And that's what kind of left him fucked up in his mind, because he had actually witnessed a man having his head chopped off in prison. I'm thinking, what the hell goes on in prison where people are able to chop off people's head?
But clearly,
yeah, clearly that happens, right? But these two suspects were eventually cleared. In the meantime, the police is like, wow, where the hell is Tony? So they didn't know if he was a suspect at the time or if he was a victim. So an APB goes out for Tony. Tony is eventually spotted in Columbus, Ohio. The police attempted to pull him over for allegedly running like either a red light or a stop sign, some type of traffic violation. And bam, he hits the gas and the chase is on.
Yeah.
They do this for about 40 to 45 minutes, where he later crashes into a tree and is ultimately captured by the Whitehall Police Department, which is a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. They extradite him back to Akron, where he is questioned on the murder at his home, and he claims that he has no idea what happened. That's a lie that he's going to go ahead and tell the police. But the truth of the matter is the police wasn't buying that bullshit, okay? Because back at the home, they had found a footprint that was obtained at the scene not too far from where Lilia's body was found. Once Tony was captured, they obtained a copy of his footprint. And of course, they did the DNA match and it matched to the footprint. So basically, he stepped in her blood as he was going back up the stairs, or either down the stairs or however he was doing it. His footprint was in her blood or whatever. At that point, Tony admitted to killing Lilius. However, he claimed that he had no choice and that God and the spirit made him do it. He claims that some kind of way Lilius had the devil inside of her, and the only way to get rid of the devil was to cut off her head.
Hey, it be like that sometimes.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, can you believe? This is just crazy. So, police believe that the altercation actually started in the kitchen after an argument. Some believe that he had just snapped, just like he was just going through this mental phase, and he just snapped being this mental person. But others believe he snapped after she told him that she was leaving him. Or whatever. So we really don't kind of know what truly caused him to snap. But what we do know is that Lilias was still alive when he decapitated her. And afterwards, he dragged her body down to the basement oh my God. To add insult to injury, he put her head in the same bucket they used as a bathroom. I mean, what level of disrespect. This is a woman you claimed you loved to the point where you would want to marry her, and now you decapitate her and stick her in the head with piss and poop. Like, really? You're sick. You're sick. So, anyway, oh my God. In December of 1998, Tony pleads not guilty of first degree aggravated murder by reason of insanity. However, after being thoroughly evaluated, psychiatrists deemed that he was not criminally insane when he murdered Lilias, and he was fit to stand trial. At that point, Tony decided to go ahead and plead guilty to a lesser crime of murder in the fourth degree. At that point, he was sentenced to 15 years to life. Why? Because he knew what he was doing, and he couldn't take spending the rest of his life in prison. At least now he knows that he has an opportunity to get out. Right. So Tony was up for parole in February of 2013, which was denied. He was ordered to stay for another 10 years and will be up for parole again in December of 2023. And God help us all. We believe that her family, we know her family played a big role in why his parole was denied the first time. And I personally believe strongly that they will continue to attend every parole hearing that is ever had for Tony Romero to ensure that he never gets out of prison. I believe that. And I don't think he should ever get out of prison. He's a sick bastard. I don't even understand how you could take a steak knife and literally decapitate somebody. I mean, what did they say? The level that it takes for decapitation, you have to cut through bone and gristle and blood vessels and blood squirting out everywhere and all kinds of foolishness. And then you got to get to the back and you got to get through the skin and the back of the neck. And she's fighting and trying to get out and they still alive. There's a lot of steps to this before you actually die. That is a horrific, horrific death.
Yes, Lord.
He's a sick bastard, is what he is. And he could have stopped at any given time, but he didn't. He didn't stop. He wanted her to suffer for whatever his own personal reasons were. So, you know, and that is the very tragic story of Lilias Landrum. I mean, I'll tell you, DJ, I mean, what do you think? I think that's just, I can't even just understand what could be going through a person's mind. Mental illness is real.
Really real.
We do know that. And at the end of the day, we cannot just sugarcoat what somebody else is doing. And I think Lilias found that out. I think Lilias was like, wow, I think this is too much even for me to handle. And I can't deal with it anymore because he's too mentally far gone and he's just not right. I remember reading somewhere where they said that the man prayed so long at a Thanksgiving dinner that they had to reheat the food. He just up there just praying and praying and praying and talking and talking and babbling and babbling and babbling and all of this. All around her family. That has to be embarrassing for her. Like, what kind of nigga do you got? You bring him around here and he's heathenistic and he's a prisoner. And it was just a bad situation all around. But nevertheless, what happened to Lily is absolutely tragic. So tell us what you guys think. I mean, should Tony ever be released from prison?
No.
My personal view, thank you. My personal view is no. Hell no. He's just going to do this to somebody else for sure. You let him out of prison, he's going to absolutely do this to somebody else. And this time, he'll make sure he won't get caught. He'll just get smarter, right? And we'll all be saying, oh, but we don't have the evidence, even though we know.
Yeah, we hope not.
Right. I think that her family will do Lilius a solid and make sure that he never gets out. Hopefully. At least her niece. Because her niece has been 1,000% supportive. I mean, they've had petitions out there. They've had a lot of community support out there to make sure that Tony does not get out of jail. Just because you plead to a lesser charge doesn't make you less guilty of the crime that they are putting you out for. To me, as a prosecutor, I wouldn't even waste my time giving him a lesser charge, right? Really, I mean, dog. You did that shit, dog. You filthy. But let us know what you think. All right. Hit us up at mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll just keep coming with it. That's all. And we got plenty more. But for right now, rest in peace, Lilius Landrum. What happened to her, regardless of how she lived, regardless of what her thought process was, she was still a good person in the world, and she didn't deserve to die this way. So, I mean, that's all we can say on that. And until next time, peace. Hey everyone, it's Lady A.
And DJ. Hey, listen, if you want more amazing episodes of Money, Romance, and Greed,
make sure you subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast fix. And we want to hear from you.
For inquiries, show ideas, or general comments, hit us up at mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. That's mrg.podcast1@gmail.com.